Welcome to the Cashflow Champs podcast, the show where we demystify real estate investing so you have the tools you need to gain financial freedom through passive investments in real estate. And now your host, Cashflow Champs Managing Partner, Prashant Kumar.
Hey guys, this is Prashant Kumar from Cashflow Champs. We are here at Cashflow Champs podcast, real estate podcast. And along with me today, I have my guest, David Milan. Is that right, David? I pronounced your last name correctly?
It's pronounced Milan. No one ever gets it right. First try. Yeah, these days I'm more surprised when someone gets it right. So
awesome, David. David Milan. Thank you so much, David. You know, David is from Nighthawk Equity, and he is the director of investor relations. You know, he leads the process of raising investor capital in Nighthawk Equity. He's from San Diego, and he has done this for last couple of years. I see that, you know, he does investor relations. You know, he's experienced with fast-paced office setting, you know, tight deadlines, and excels at work under pressure. He develops and maintains a strong relationship with high net worth individuals by creating, editing, and distributing monthly reports. So he's like all over the place. He is responsible for content creation also. He creates and implements marketing initiatives in the company. I mean, a lot of you must know about Nighthawk Equity. But before Nighthawk Equity, he was with the Equity Street Capital. So all in all, primarily working as investor relations, responsible for all the marketing needs and connecting with all the investors and making sure investors get what they need to get from an operator. So David, thank you so much for your time today. I know we booked only yesterday night, and thanks for jumping on for such a short notice. I would like to know a little bit more about you. One thing I would like to mention, you know, you have been the key contributor in raising more than $200 million, you know. Mm-hmm. So that is something which I wanted to point out, that we interview folks who have been doing this for some time and have some value creation, you know, share your experience and knowledge with our listeners and, of course, with us. So welcome to the show, David.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. I know it was a little bit late notice here, but happy to jump on and be a part of this for you guys. So I don't know if you wanted to start out with just me kind of going into that a little bit, or if you had specific
questions. Please do that. I mean, I would like to hear from horse's mouth, you know, what is that? What is your background, and tell me more about you.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so you touched upon a little bit of my background here, kind of the high level overview of it. So I've been in the investor relations and, in fact, multifamily real estate industry for about 6 years now at this point. You mentioned I got my start in, I'm from the Bay Area, Northern California, made my way down to San Diego about 7-8 years ago. And shortly after that, got started in the multifamily industry with a company local to San Diego, that would be Equity Street Capital. And that was kind of my first foray into anything real estate investing related. I had basically no experience prior to that. So just kind of had to hit the ground running, you know, learn the ropes a little bit, and really got off to a nice start with that company. Learned basically all the fundamentals about, you know, what real estate investing is, from, you know, basic terms like cash on cash return all the way to, you know, how to communicate properly with high net worth investors. So got my start with them, worked there for about two and a half years or so. Eventually ended up finding Michael Blanc and kind of, you know, joining forces with him. And that's how I found myself at Nighthawk. So for the last actually about the same time, two and a half years, been working with Nighthawk Equity as director of investor relations. And that's kind of my background there. So been in the industry for, you know, 5-6 years now, and there's no looking back for me. I really love being, you know, a part of this particular industry. I love the power of real estate investing and how we can, you know, truly make a difference in investors' lives. You know, it's not like we're just, you know, selling any sort of random gimmicky product. It's something that will truly make an impactful difference in people's lives. So that's what keeps me going every day and keeps me making these calls with investors.
Awesome. Awesome. That's super, super cool. So what do you think are the benefits of passive investing, and how are you doing? What are you doing to help your investors gain financial freedom? What is unique about what you are doing?
Yeah, definitely. So the benefits, you know, in a broad sense of passive investing is, of course, the ability to, you know, obtain passive income. And so that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. For some people, it's, you know, being able to free up their time, not having to worry about their W-2 job, not really having to answer to anyone. You know, you don't have a boss telling you, you need to come in at this time. You need to spend time away from your family. Passive income that you have, once you're able to generate a certain amount, you know, it's kind of your choice as to what you do with your time, right? So for a lot of people, that's very valuable. There's also just the aspect of, you know, not only not having to work for someone and kind of choosing your own things, but just being able to spend that time in more valuable ways, whether that's, you know, with your family, on, you know, passionate hobbies that you have that you've always wanted to get started but never had the time. It really opens up doors to do that for a lot of people. And that's kind of the value of it. Now, you know, getting into more of a specific answer in terms of what's the value of it coming from real estate investing. We always tell, you know, investors, there's all sorts of different, I call them profit centers, really, when it comes to real estate. So, you know, it's not just, you know, a total return that you're getting. It's kind of broken up into different baskets of income that's coming your way. And so you have, you know, the cash flow that's coming in. That's the passive income aspect where, you know, some operators do monthly, some operators do quarterly distribution, but that's cash flow that's coming into your pocket for basically doing no work, which is awesome. Of course, there's appreciation as well. Pretty much all real estate, the properties appreciate over time. You have value add syndicators like what we do at Nighthawk, where, you know, you're forcing value creation on the property by renovating it, that kind of enhances the appreciation aspect. That's another way you're getting paid. There's also tax benefits as well. You know, I won't go into it too much. You know, a professional, you know, tax or a CPA or anything like that, but there is opportunities for bonus appreciation a lot of the time where you can kind of reduce your tax bill pretty significantly. So those are all different ways to kind of acquire that passive income. And that's why I talked a little bit earlier about how powerful of a mechanism it is to achieve financial freedom for investors. You're not getting paid in just one way. There's three or four or five different profit centers involved. And it eventually just kind of creates this snowball effect where if you keep investing over time, just a little bit by a little bit, it just compounds eventually to the point where you look back and you're like, wow, I started with, you know, not this much in terms of passive income or in terms of initial investment that I deployed in the property. And now all of a sudden, you know, a handful of years later, I'm financially free. So that's all the benefits of it. Different benefits for different people in terms of how you use that time. But it's in my opinion, the most powerful tool that there is in order to create financial freedom for investors.
So, you know, that's super awesome. You know, thanks for explaining that. And this one thing which I always ask everybody, you know, because that's the purpose of this podcast. Now I want to get into specific things about you. Mm-hmm. What is you do at Nighthawk Equity, which makes it unique for you? You know, share some thoughts if you don't mind.
Yeah, definitely. So a couple things that kind of set Nighthawk apart for me in terms of what we do and how we handle our investors is the way that we take care of our investors. So we're not a big company by any means. We have about 8 employees now. We've kind of doubled actually how many employees we've had in the last 12 months. And so we really kind of have cultivated this mom and pop shop feeling for our business where, you know, if investors that we're working with, if they have a question, they reach out to me directly, right? They're not going to be, you know, put on hold in some, you know, generic business line or anything like that, waiting for some automated response. You get my number, you get, you know, the partner's number, and you work directly with us. And I feel like that kind of separates us because there's a lot of big syndicators or operators out there that don't have that aspect. They've grown a lot and they've scaled, which is really awesome, honestly. I'm not trying to disparage it, but there are certain advantages of being a smaller team where you get a more personalized experience with investors. And that's very, very important because obviously these investors are trusting us with large sums of capital. You know, that's hard earned capital. It's not like it's not nothing to them, right? It's very significant. So it means a lot to us when they trust in us enough to, you know, wire us X amount of dollars so that we can invest that for them. And so as a result, we want to take care of them. We want to communicate with them often. We want to, you know, we talked about the reports that I send out. We make sure to send those out to investors all the time. We host investor update webinars for our investors so they are up to date about what's going on in the property. They're never left in the dark. And we're constantly communicating with them. We're constantly giving them an avenue to communicate back with us if they have questions. And it's just very, very important because you want to be able to establish that trust factor with investors if you want to, you know, stay in it long-term in this business.
So what you are saying is basically, you know, your connection with the investors is very important and they feeling that you are available for them. It's not that they are just a number and they are sending you the email and you are responding the email. They have your numbers. They can talk to you, and you build that credibility by talking back and forth with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about that connection, like you said, right? You know, it's not just a simple transaction of, hey, we want your money. We'll take it. We'll update you every once in a while about things that are going on if we feel like it. That's a very limited transaction. We want to be much more than that. We want to build this kind of community with our investors. We want them to be able to trust us. We want to be able to trust them. And that creates, you know, some great growth opportunities going forward and also some great experiences for your investors. So they keep coming back.
David, I see that you do a lot of marketing also. I would like to learn from you, what are the different things, different avenues that you guys have at Nighthawk Equity? What kind of approach do you have for mind marketing, basically, you know, investor acquisition? You know, just tell us a little bit more about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, definitely. So to be quite honest with it, we're in the very, I would say, early stages of our marketing engine and kind of the marketing initiative. So it's something that we're figuring out. We're testing different methods in terms of what works. What we've started to see a lot of success on is building out our social media programs. That probably seems obvious to everyone who's listening. I mean, we're in 2023. Mm-hmm. Social media is huge in terms of, you know, building up you know, any sort of following at all or investor base. So we've kind of started experimenting with that. You know, we just published a YouTube channel about a year ago. So it's in its first 12 months of existence. Same with LinkedIn as well as Instagram. So pretty basic advice, but just, you know, reaching out to people on social media, producing lots of great content in terms of, you know, what people want to hear, right? You gotta put yourself in the shoes of an average potential investor. What do they want to know? What questions do they want answered? And we try our best. We have, you know, certain metrics and guys in our marketing team that really know how to kind of tap into that. And so they say, hey, you know, this particular keyword got searched X amount of times over the last couple of months, and it's really, really competitive. And you know, we want to be able to basically take advantage of that and say, okay, if, you know, a ton of investors are searching for this, they obviously want to know the answer. Let's put out some content. Let's explain this to investors in kind of an easy to break down, personable way. And that will kind of engage the investor and pique their interest, and eventually they'll end up scheduling a call with us.
How do you like to encourage, you know, listeners to take advantage of the offerings? You know, I know we market, but when you have a deal, how do you guys, what is the mechanism that you guys follow to take the deal to the market and acquire, you know, new investors or existing investors? You know, what is your process? If, you know,
and you're talking about specific to a brand new deal.
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So the way that, honestly, the thing that Nighthawk does when it comes to marketing new deals is we're pretty relentless when it comes to sharing information about it to our investors. So backtracking a little bit for context. So we do 506B offerings. For anyone who's in the audience, doesn't know what that is. That means that basically we can permit both accredited as well as non-accredited investors into our deals. There's limitations on how much we can actually advertise it to people because of that. But as a result, you know, we have to be able to prove that we have an established relationship with investors. So everyone that I have a call with, we call them intake calls. They're brand new investors who are interested in coming in. I spend about 30 minutes talking to them on the phone, getting to know them, and then boom, we can market to them, right? They're automatically put in our marketing list. So right now we have about 2,600, we call them deal-ready investors in our marketing list. And you know, basically the day that we go under contract on a new opportunity, we'll start just, it's almost like a blitz, right? We'll email them that first day, maybe send them a text as well, provide some really preliminary information, high-level overview of the investment. And for the next 2 weeks, you know, 2 weeks after that date, that's when we host the webinar for it. And that's when the investment process opens up. But for that 2 week period, like I said, it's kind of an all out blitz. We'll email you, text you, leave you a voicemail, make sure that, you know, you do hear about it, make sure that you're interested. And then from there, we want to do everything in our power to, you know, drive people to go on that webinar, because that's where the partners talk and that's where they'll get all their questions answered. So it's a very aggressive marketing technique. You know, we're probably touching investors almost once per day for that 2 week period, unless they've already registered or said they didn't want to do it, then we'll take them off. But we found that works very well, right? There's something about, you know, a lot of investors, or maybe it's human nature, where they might not, you know, they might see the first email and open it and it might not register internally that, It's something that they want to do. But maybe two or three communications later, they're finally like, okay, like this, you know, I'm getting more information about this property. This actually looks like a really good investment. And then from there, they'll register for the webinar. So it may work out differently for different operators. Some might take, you know, a lighter approach in terms of that. But we love, you know, I mentioned communicating with existing investors very often about their investment. We also communicate with potential investors very often about a brand new opportunity.
That's a good approach, you know, trying to connect with them once a day, you know, whether it is email or a text before the beginning of the webinar, because webinar is the real opportunity when investor listens more about the property, more about the deal, what deal is going to make for them. So this 2 weeks time period, gestation period probably is good time period that they get ready to listen about the deal. And do you guys get into soft commit or do you guys go into the hard commit at that moment? You know, what is your approach?
Yeah, good question. When I first came on board with Nighthawk, I think literally the very first deal that we did with me, we did soft commits. And I think that was a process that was left over from before. We ended up eventually scrapping it, you know, for a variety of reasons. But ultimately, we felt that moving to just straight hard commits really gave us a better idea of which investors were coming in. There's a very large percentage of when you kind of activate soft commits, there's a large percentage of investors who don't end up coming in anyways. So we track that in other ways. These days, it's just, you know, hard commits in terms of, hey, really, once we get their funds, that's when we like finalize their investment. And we don't assume anything before that. We do have a relationship with certain investors where it's like, they say they'll get in the funds. We believe them. We've seen it before. But yeah, we've kind of moved away from the whole soft commit mechanism.
What kind of tools, specific tools that you guys use for marketing? Active campaign, you know, Kartra, you know, SMS messages. What are the things that you have in store that could be useful for our listeners, those who are new guys, you know, who want to come in to become a syndicator? For them, you know, what are the tools, best practices that you have been following?
Yeah, the biggest one that we use is indeed ActiveCampaign. That's one that I've actually seen a lot across the industry, where it's just an incredibly powerful tool. And we have something like 70,000 contacts within ActiveCampaign, and we can reach all of them pretty seamlessly with, you know, a couple clicks of a button. And so it's great, you know, not only for following up with leads and reaching out to them, of course, but it's also great for, you know, just general CRM stuff, managing them, making notes on them, things like that. There is a little bit of a learning curve involved with ActiveCampaign. It's very complex. I still don't understand, you know, the entire thing. There's a lot I don't know about it. But we do have a tech guy on our team that helps us out a lot with that. He's kind of a wizard with that stuff. He's able to, you know, break people up into different segments. And, you know, for instance, when we have a brand new deal, I mentioned we communicate with them very often about it. So there's always going to be, you know, that first email we send, there's going to be X percentage of investors who aren't interested or already registered for the webinar after that first one. So we have to make sure that, you know, during that second communication that goes out, we filter out the people who are either not interested or already registered for the webinar, because we don't want to risk bothering them, you know, and it just seems kind of sloppy when you email someone saying, hey, are you able to make it to the webinar? And they had just emailed in saying, yes, like we already talked about this. So you want to be able to have a system that filters things like that out. So you maintain that professional appearance, I would say. And ActiveCampaign is wonderful for that.
So you do maintain the, you do take the input from the investor. And based on the input from the investor, you choose to send them second email or not, basically.
Yeah, it's a tagging system. So we have it set up where, you know, once an investor registers for the webinar, they automatically get a webinar registered tag. And then so when we draft up that second communication that goes out, we can have it segmented to go out to all deal ready investors, except for those that have the webinar registered tagged or have you know, the not interested tag. We also tag people who are out just because we don't want to bother them anymore. It's kind of unprofessional to do that. But it's all based on that tagging system that ActiveCampaign allows. And it really helps you maintain that image of professionalism where, you know, investors are like, wow, they're really on top of that. They know that I've registered. They're not bothering me anymore. Things like that.
Do you do that? I mean, have you had multiple deals at the same time where you might be doing the raise? And you get into the confusion whether they have sent this deal to this investor or not. I mean, how do you handle that situation?
Yeah, that's a good question. We actually haven't run into that issue before. Historically, our cadence of deals is about one per quarter. So it's very rare that it would ever overlap. I think in the future, when we kind of continue to scale up at Nighthawk, we probably will run into that issue where we're capital raising for a couple of deals at a time. But what we do is we set up tags for each individual property. So for instance, if we have property X and property Y, one of the tags will say X webinar registered. The other will say Y webinar registered. So that gives, it's not just a blanket webinar registered tag where it could apply to any of them. So it's important to kind of set aside or create tags for each individual property so that you don't get mixed up if you find yourself in the event of raising capital for multiple properties at the same time.
That is super helpful. I think it is super helpful for the new syndicators that we have. And of course, we do the similar thing in our system. We use a system called Cartry. It is also a marketing platform, not so much CRM-like Active Campaign, but we have been using Cartry for a long time. And that is, of course, powerful. And it's kind of self-contained tool except the texts that needs to be sent out. Text for text, we need to take an additional service called Twilio or Slide Text. So other than that, everything else is done. So three systems that we use: Kartra, Zoom, and text system basically. Kartra, okay. Zoom, and Slide Text. That's what we use.
Yeah, is Slide Text kind of, is it the same like family company as Slide Broadcast? We use that for voicemails.
Oh, is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay, no.
We use that. That's another element to the marketing engine that you asked about. I might as well touch upon that. But we use a program or a software called Sly Broadcast, which might be from the same company that you're talking about. But essentially, it allows us to leave voicemails on all investors' phones. So obviously, you don't really have the time to call whatever 2,500 investors about this deal. So you can use this software to pre-record a voice memo. And that will kind of function as your voicemail. This software automatically calls them. And what that means is it doesn't actually ring on their phone, but it leaves a voicemail on their phone. So, you use that. It's very powerful because you're hitting them from three different angles at a time. You're emailing them, you're texting them, you're now also leaving them a voicemail. And there's a very, some investors out there might not be checking their email on a regular basis. Some might not be checking their text, but they might check their voicemail, right? They're gonna read or hear about it in some way if you're using all three.
Awesome. That is super awesome. That's a good tip also. You might as well reach out to your investors from all directions rather than just sending them the emails, because typically email open rate is very low, right? It could be less than 10% for some. For us, it's a little bit higher because we do a lot of other things. But, I've seen emails going to spam for all that it matters, So your efforts are useless, if it is not opened. So email, text, as well as voicemail, that kind of sums up, all the deal marketing piece. How often do you guys, reach out to investors when the deal is closed? What is your best practice in terms of communicating, monthly newsletters, webinars? What is your approach?
Yeah, good question. So we have a specific approach that we use for all properties. So the way it works is that once we close on a property, for each of the first 3 months after that. So let me backtrack. Once we close on a property, we send out an email or two emails, of course, just to say, hey, we've closed. Thanks so much for being a part of this investment. Here's what the timeline looks like. That's our initial email. Then fast forward a little bit. That's when we, for each of the first 3 months, we host what's called an investor update webinar. And, that's basically all the information they need to know, how renovations are going, what to expect with distributions, maybe some information about financials as well. We'll talk about all those things on each of those webinars, how closing went too. That's a big one. And then in the back half of those webinars, we'll also host a Q&A for investors, give them the opportunity to ask any questions that pop up to mind. And we'll answer them, right there live on air. So a lot of investors love those webinars. We do that for each of the first 3 months after close. And then after that, that's when we move to quarterly reporting for every property. And so that's for the remainder, the duration of the investment cycle. We'll do quarterly reports. They come in the form of an email. And within that email, there's going to be kind of a three bullet point summary for people who just want the quick and dirty details. And then below that, there's also a link that kind of links them over to a PDF with some nice fancy images of what's going on with the property, how it looks, financials in terms of actual to budget variances, distribution updates, narratives about the property, pretty much all the information they could ask for. And so we send that on a quarterly basis. We leave our personal cell phone numbers on those reports. So if they do have questions, they could always reach back out to us, give us a call. And that's kind of our cadence when it comes to communicating to investors post-close.
What financial systems do you use to calculate returns? I mean, do you have anything specific, you know, like IMS or, any of those softwares, any thoughts on that, David?
To calculate the return. So we do that initially in the underwriting. We use Michael Blanc's SDA, a syndicated deal analyzer. A lot of people might be familiar with that. But if you're wondering, if you're talking about like how we show investors that and basically provide visibility for investors into, if they've gotten three distributions, what does that look like? We store all of that information on the investor portal that we use. We did use IMS for a little bit, so I am familiar with that software, but about two and a half years ago, right as I got onboard in Nighthawk, really, we moved over to IDR, which is Investor Deal Room. And I think they were fairly recently bought out by Resmin. So it's a Resmin company now, but that's the provider that we use. And it's great in terms of, showing investors exactly what's going on with their investment, making it pretty easy to communicate with investors through like a bulk email on there as well, specific property. We use IDR for that, and it's they're doing a great job as our portal vendors, I would say.
So is that a portal? Does that portal take care of the property management financials, or is it your portal for finance reporting to investors?
Yeah, it's more of the latter. In terms of property management finances, I'm not the best person to ask for that. I'm not really sure. We have an asset manager that's more in their wheelhouse. So I don't want to give an answer on that. But I know we have a separate software for that.
Awesome. That's super awesome. I mean, I'm not worried. I mean, it's just that I wanted to kind of create some value for those who are listening to us. They get some more input, more information. So no, David, I'll just go through a few lightning questions. What piece of advice in your life, that you want to give it to others, which will benefit others,
We're talking about any aspect of life here, not just real estate.
Talk about yourself, whatever comes to your mind. What is you have, which has taken you to the next level?
Okay. I would say just kind of invest in yourself. There's obviously, everyone who's watching this video or this podcast is worried about, investing their capital, which is obviously, a big concern, and you want to focus on that. But a lot of people, out there, they neglect investing in themselves. And that means, educating yourself, improving yourself. Maybe that comes in the form of, reading developmental books, reading financial books, things like that. But always the best investment you can make is yourself. And, whether you're 18 years old watching this or, 45 years old and you feel like you're maybe fully developed, it doesn't matter. There's always a better version of yourself that you can strive to be. And you'll look back and thank yourself for doing that, years later.
What is one book that you would, which is on top of your list, that you'd recommend somebody to read?
Is this any book in any genre?
Any book in any genre.
Ooh, yes. That's a good question. Okay. The book that I just most recently finished is a pretty popular book. It's like an anthropology book. I love stuff like that. It's called Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. You know that one. I know it's a big one, and it's endorsed by Obama and Bill Gates and a lot of people like that. But that's one of my favorite books I've ever read. I'm really into that sort of anthropology, history type book that really outlines important things that have happened in human history, but breaks it down in very simple terms. So that's kind of my little enjoyment read of that I have to recommend. I really like that one, and it'll change your perspective on a lot of things, I would say.
Well, David, you have been a great speaker. You have given so much value to our listeners, and we are talking today on Cashflow Champs Real Estate Podcast. How can our listeners reach out to you? Share your contact details, please, if you don't mind.
Yes, happy to do that. So if you want to reach me by email, you can go ahead and reach me at david@nighthawkequity.com. You can always reach me by call or text at 808-500-7135. Or if you want to just take a look at our website, learn a little bit more about us, and then kind of schedule a call through that, you can visit nighthawkequity.com. That's our website. You could also take it a step further and go to nighthawkequity.com/call, and you could book a call on my calendar directly from there.
David, thank you so much for your time today. It was so helpful. I learned a lot, and I'm sure our listeners would learn a lot from your experience that you are, what you are doing in syndication business, almost like a coaching session in a way for listeners, you know, those who want to do something in this space. Again, thank you so much for jumping onto this call at such a short notice. It is very well appreciated. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cashflow Champs podcast. Cashflow Champs partners with busy working professionals and entrepreneurs that want to build and maintain generational wealth through real estate. Visit cashflowchamps.com to learn more about us.